Because the road isn't what takes us from A to B. It's where we live our lives. In that space between full and empty. Phillip 66. Live to the full.
And good evening and welcome to our K1 broadcast of the League of Women Voters Forum for candidates for the Bartlesville City Council. There are four candidates that we will hear from tonight. Of course, Washington County voters can cast an early ballot for the election next Tuesday, starting on Thursday at the County Election Board, as election board hours will be held across the state. The County Election Board will be open for your early ballots on Thursday from 8 until 6. Also from Friday 8 and 6 and Saturday 9 until 2 o'clock. According to Election Board Secretary Yvonne House, should you become incapacitated after, well, this hour, you can still vote. State law does allow registered voters who become unable to vote to go to the polls to vote on an emergency basis, and you can call the Election Board office 918-337-2850 with your questions. We will hear four candidates tonight for the Bartlesville City Council. The two candidates for Ward 2, which is an open seat. Vice Mayor Kane chose not to run for re-election. We will hear from Ramona Carlson and also from Paul Stewart. The contested race for the Ward 4 seat on the council, incumbent Alan Gentius and Joel Rabin. Our moderator for tonight's forum with the League of Women Voters is Pat Netzer-Willard. There are still a few seats in the hall here at City Hall. If you choose to come down and watch, there will be standing room, and I see approximately 15 seats left in the room if you would choose to come down. But now we join Pat Netzer-Willard and the League of Women Voters for tonight's candidate council, or forum rather, for the City Council, candidates for Bartlesville City Council on AM 1400 and 93.3 FM K1. And now Pat Netzer-Willard with the forum for tonight's council candidates.
Welcome tonight, everyone out there in our audience. Tonight we have a wonderful crowd of people, and all the rest who are tuning in tonight, welcome to the League of Women Voters of Bartlesville Area Forum for the candidates for Ward 2 and Ward 4 council races in Bartlesville. We hope to help citizens in their preparation for voting. If you're doing early voting, end of this week at the courthouse, super good, and November the 6th, that's a week from today. And by this time tonight, the votes will be mostly in. I think the polls close at 7. So tonight, we welcome these candidates from Ward 4, Alla Jensen and Joel Rabin, and Ward 2, Ramona Coulson and Paul Stewart. I'd like to especially thank our league volunteers, Donna K. Fenstermaker, who's being the timekeeper tonight, Roger Fenstermaker and Roger Elmore, who are going to be our question readers, and a variety of league people who have volunteered to hand out cards and pins so you can send up your questions. The readers to my left, to my right, will be taking care of those questions and reading them when the time comes. I also want to especially thank 1400 AM P66 sponsoring with Charlie Terribaletti tonight and Nathan Thompson from The Examiner. I wanted to remind me that The Examiner will be streaming this live on their Facebook page. And the cable TV channel 56 is also going to put it on for people to listen to what the people have to say tonight about things happening in our city. As the league always says, national races are exciting, but the things that make a difference are voting for local issues. So we're beginning with opening statements from the four candidates. They have 3 minutes to tell about what they plan to do, what they want to do, and what they hope to do. And we're going to start with Joel Rabin over here.
Thank you. First, I would like to thank the League for this opportunity to talk with you. Also, I ask you to bear with me because I'm not used to being on this side of the bench. I'm usually over there. I'm going to assume that a lot of you have seen the movie The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly with Clint Eastwood. I'm going to let you decide who's the good, who's the bad, and who's the ugly. A friend of mine called me last week. He's actually out in the audience, and he said to me, "Joel, have you seen the newspaper?" And I was like, "No." And he said, "Well, you really got to go look at the newspaper, at the letters to the editor." I said, "I'm busy." He said, "No, you got to go look at it." So I went over the computer, because I get it online, and I went over and I looked at the letters. And what did I see? Well, what I saw was 5 letters to the editor, each one with a headline, which was obviously put in there by the newspaper, not by the people who wrote the letters. And let me read you the headlines of those five letters. Gentius, a rare find. Gentius, a consensus builder. Gentius is a bridge builder. Gentius is a problem solver. And from one of our priests, Gentius is a unifier. Well, I called back my friend and I said, wow, that's like really something. And he said to me, where's the one that says Gentius walks on water? I missed that one. I thought that was funny. I'll tell you what's not so funny. It seems to me there are two Alan Gentius in Bartlesville. One of them walks on water. The other one, to me, is part of our political swamp. And the Alan Gentius I know supported Casey's against the property owners out of Nevada and Madison. The Alan Gentius I know is now supporting a housing developer against the people in Oak Park. The Alan Gentius I know has given millions of taxpayer dollars to commercial developers, which has cost our existing billions, our own businesses, millions in lost sales revenue. And it seems to me that he is a good deal more concerned about a couple of hundred young people who work here and live down in Owosso or Tulsa and Point South than he is with the tens of thousands of people that actually do live here, and so forth and so on. So I'll let you decide who is the good, who is the bad, and who is the ugly. Thank you. I'm done.
Thank you, Mr. Ribbon.
Welcome.
Alan Gentius.
Thank you.
Opening statements.
I also would like to thank the League of Women Voters. They always do such a great job of putting on these forums. It gives members of the community an opportunity to see the contrast between the different candidates, hear what we have to say, and make an informed decision. I also want to thank everyone who's present tonight. I know there's other things that you have to do. Bartlesville is a unique place as to so many things that we get to do, so many people involved, and I know that you have busy lives, so thank you for being here. And for those who are watching us on Facebook Live or listening to us on the radio and watching us on television, thank you for being involved in government and taking your time to listen to what we have to say. It's been an honor to have represented the 4th Ward for the last 2 years on the City Council. Working together, we've been building workable solutions to problems that have existed here in town for many years, and continue to build on the financial responsibility and financial strength of the city. When I first thought about running, some folks came to me and told me that there was a problem with downtown landscaping. This problem has been around for 25 years. There have been some fights and disagreements for the last 8 years. And when I looked into it, I learned that there was money already available. So we created a task force, and with the help of Councilman Curd, we were able to, within 5 months, put together a plan, which now has been completed for second in Dewey. And if you want to see what we were able to accomplish there you can see by going down there. We also have the next phase included in the bond issue, which will be Frank Phillips. And in the next bond issue, I'll be supporting further improvement on Osage so that we have completed the downtown landscaping. This is a problem that seemed to be intractable. When I looked at it, I thought this was something we could easily fix. And the way that we did it was by listening to everyone, bringing everybody's idea to the table. Building trust between the different players, and we were able to be able to finish that project. And the council was behind that, and once again, it showed the kind of work, whenever you can work together, what you can actually accomplish. Some of the other projects, of course, we've got a large amount of paving that's going to be done downtown. The entire downtown area will be repaved, and we'll be talking more about things that we'd like to see happen, but what we'll be doing is continuing on with what we've done, finding workable solutions and working in a collaborative way, not attacking each other, but working together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentius. All right, Mr. Paul Stewart from the next ward, Ward 2.
So I would like to thank the League also for having us tonight and the audience for coming to participate in this forum. I want to thank the Firefighters Union and the newspaper for endorsing me, and all the people that donated to my campaign, put signs in their yards, volunteered for me, and stopped to talk with me when I came knocking at their doors. I want to thank the elder statesmen and women that offered advice here and there, and my wife, Lindsay, and the rest of my family for supporting me these last few months. So being a newcomer, I thought I would tell a little bit about myself. My education background is in finance and economics. My professional background is in accounting and process improvement. And my personal time revolves around my family, my church, and service to others. These are things that led me to the decision to run for city council. I'm not running because I'm upset about anything the council has or hasn't done. I just have this desire for public service. So what qualifies me for to be on the council? I was the first to hold the title at my employer that was issue coordinator. All day, every day, for several years, it was people coming to me with problems that I was expected to solve or put in contact with someone that could. And I think that has prepared me to be on the council. Why should you vote for me? If you like where Bartlesville is and the current trajectory of the city, then I would appreciate your vote. I equally support three priorities for the city because I think they supply power to one another. We need to maintain our current infrastructure, we need to support policies that promote economic development, and we need to support quality of life amenities that will attract workers to Bartlesville. As I walked to the 3,000 houses with registered voters in Ward 2, I heard three main things citizens were concerned with. They want people to slow down in their neighborhoods, they want infrastructure to address drainage issues, and they want a convenient recycling program. These are issues that I would bring to the city manager and before the council. I can work with our current city councilors to ensure our streets and trails are safe for cars, bicyclists, and pedestrians, and that we have things like public gathering spaces and a convenient, sustainable recycling program. My economics background will also serve the citizens of Bartlesville on the council. So, hundreds of yard signs, a billboard, some newspaper ads, and radio commercials, 200 miles walked, and 500,000 steps logged on my Fitbit are what it took for me to get here today. And none of it matters if the 7,000 registered voters in Ward 2 don't get out and vote on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday this week or Tuesday next week at their normal polling place. Bartlesville should continue to be a vibrant and relevant community for the people that choose to live and work here. If you support this vision, please vote for me. I want Bartlesville to continue to be a great place to live for my family and for yours. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Ramona Coulson, the other candidate for Ward 2.
Good evening. Thank you for the opportunity to be heard this evening. Is it on?
Yes.
Okay. My name is Ramona K. Coulson, and I'm running for Bartlesville City Council Ward 2. A little bit about my background is that I'm Oklahoma born and raised. I grew up in the Pauls Valley area, went to Oklahoma State University, then I went to the University of New Mexico for law school. After New Mexico, I spent about 20 years in California. When I was in New Mexico, right out of law school, I clerked for a judge on the Court of Appeals. In California, I was a deputy district attorney for a few years. Then I was in private practice, like I am here in Bartlesville. My home has been in Bartlesville for approximately 20 years. 15 of those, I've been a sole practitioner attorney. Immediately before that, I taught the paralegal program at Tri-County Technology Center. I've been an attorney for 45 years. I love the law. Why am I running for city council? Because you deserve to be heard. You, the working person, you, the private property owner, you, the small business owner, you, the taxpayer. Transparency is the cornerstone of my platform. As your city councilwoman, I will be responsible and accountable to you, the taxpayer. The city council is responsible for providing the highest quality available of services from the city and the city employees to the taxpayers of Bartlesville. The police and the firemen deserve higher pay. If the city enters into an arbitration, in good faith, then the city should honor the arbitrator's decision. I have no private agenda, no special interest. I sign both sides of my paycheck. At my age, I don't need anything else to add to my resume. I believe there's wisdom with age and value in a woman's perspective. That, ladies and gentlemen, is a little bit about me in a nutshell.
Thank you, Ms. Coulson. The time now for the first question, and it is Roger. Elmore, who's going to ask, and we're going to begin with Mr. Gentis.
This is a two-part question. The population of Oklahoma grew 29% between 1980 and 2017. In contrast, the Bartlesville population grew only 5% during the same 37-year period. Additionally, many high-paying jobs have left Bartlesville over the past several years. Question one is, are you pro-growth, or do you want Bartlesville to remain a smaller city? Question two is, what will you do to create jobs that pay over the per capita income of $29,000 per year?
All right, we're going to begin with Mr. Gentis.
Thank you. I am pro-growth. I believe that the city has to grow or eventually it will wither away. And I think that we need to continue to, of course, help draw the young folks to come to town and to maintain the population that we have now. I think as far as economic development is concerned, that we need to continue to support it as city government to support the businesses that we have here and to maintain the employees that we have. And then through, we have a Bartlesville Development Authority, we're creating and looking for additional jobs to come into town. The other thing that I think that's very important is that we improve the overall quality of life, which we have a unique place here in Bartlesville, a beautiful place, not too many other places in Oklahoma, if anywhere, that's a city this size would have a downtown landscape like we do with the big buildings and beautiful old buildings and high maintenance of what we've done in our downtown area, which I believe is kind of the heart of the community. Also, the improvements that we've made in the last 2 years on our parks, I think, are very important. Basic core services, such as making sure that we have a long-term water supply, one that will be adequate for even times of drought, which is what something we're working on. Different businesses that come to town want to see those kind of infrastructures, good streets. The two-year contract that we have now with the fire and police, and return of mayor pays that can be on a sustainable basis. Those kind of core things will help also bring in new businesses, but also have a, with the development of our industrial park and an additional industrial park on the west, so that they have more than one place where they can place their businesses. All of those, I think, are going to help us.
All right, thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Stewart, your answer to those questions.
So with my economics background, a lot of that was actuarial tables. Something that that I'm looking at now is that a lot of the older baby boomers are now in their early 70s with a life expectancy, you know, in the early 80s. They are who are shopping at our stores now and providing the sales tax. Younger people are not doing that. They're shopping online. That's been a problem for the city for the last, as we've been going. So we've got to grow the city. Like I said, we haven't grown by 5,000 people in 30 years, but between 1970 and 1980, we grew by 5,000 people in just 10 years. I think we can do that again. I think we need a long-term plan for the city to see where we can be in 2030. It's going to be a challenge, but we've got to continue to move this city forward to get, a lot of the people that work here to actually move up here and live here and shop here to increase that sales tax base. As a community, we need to support education at every level, elementary, secondary, vocational, and college, and support our fire and police departments and show that they're a priority in a budget to help get people to move up here. And I think that'll help with the increasing the sales tax base and growing our population.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Ramona Coulson?
Yes, I am pro-growth. There's a reason that there are more jobs, or that jobs grew, and that the population of Bartlesville did not grow in proportion to the jobs. And as a council person, I would like to get to the bottom of that reason. I know that the Bartlesville Development Authority, the council, the Chamber of Commerce, and I would like to see bankers work with those three groups to see what can be done to expand the economic base here in Bartlesville. specifically regarding jobs over $29,000 a year. I think that there is a population in Bartlesville who would be glad to make $29,000 a year. I think that there is a population of impoverished that I would like to see the city council and the city concentrate more on raising their quality of life. Everyone sitting here probably has a good quality of life, but without raising the quality of life for everyone, then we can't sustain ourselves. Bartlesville is a unique place to live. We need to tout all of the uniqueness and capitalize on it. We need to take a look at the cities around us and see why they are growing or why our 25 to 44 population is working here and going out of town to live.
Thank you, Ms. Colson. Mr. Redmond.
Thank you. Of course, I'm pro-growth, but one of the facts that was stated was we've been basically 35,000 plus or minus three people for about the last 30 or 40 years. This is a great city. I've traveled all over the United States in my work as a management consultant. Our economic development now is largely been a result of what was called the Angelou Plan about 4 or 5 years ago. And I can relate to it because that's the kind of work I did. I'm a strategic planner, and I did it all over the United States. The focus of that was very much young people down south who work here, live down south. And I would maintain, and having spoken to a lot of people, they live down south because they want to live down south. They want to live in Owosso because they want to live in Owosso or in Tulsa. We're not Tulsa. We're not Owosso. We're Bartlesville. And they're not us either. And it's a great city. It's got, I've been all over the country. It's got one of the most fabulous downtowns you'd ever find in a city of this size. The population here over 65 is one of the highest proportions in the state of Oklahoma. And I think we can skip the whiny stuff of, oh my God, we're gonna become a retirement community. You wish. If the 65 plus population who have the disposable income left this city, it would shut down in about 2 months. The hospital would close down. I know, I'm a hospital consultant. Community center will slow close down. Restaurants will close down. The focus on the young folks not living here, I think, is detrimental to the city and the approach we're taking. Primary jobs, and I've said, you know, bring in other kinds of primary jobs than they've talked about. Retail doesn't create jobs. All it does is takes market share from other businesses. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Okay, the next question will be directed first to Mr. Stewart. We rotate the question so everyone isn't on the one person is on the hot seat first every time. All right, Roger Fenstermaker is going to ask the question.
What is your opinion about having additional low-cost housing in Bartlesville?
I think it's something we need to have. Right now there are over 200 families that have homeless kids in our schools. You know, that's not good for the families themselves. It's hard on the teachers. It's hard on the kids that have to be in the classroom with them. I support a lot of our community initiatives that we have to help get you know, the homeless someplace stable so that they can work. You know, they help them find jobs, they help them find they get them educated. I definitely think we need to do that, especially supporting things like building bridges and Habitat for Humanity here in town. I support comprehensive land bank legislation at the state legislature that would allow the city to take some of the blight in the city and sell it to basically Habitat for Humanity and make at least break even on it. I definitely support subsidized housing here in Bartlesville.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Ms. Colson, the same question.
Yes, I think there's a need for additional low-cost housing. These little houses may be part of the solution. They're popping up in a couple of different areas here in town. Everybody needs a home, a job, food, and transportation. And if you don't have those four things, then you can't be independent, you can't survive. So housing is one of the biggest needs. Housing, the Habitat for Housing, or Houses, Habitat for Housing, yes, that's it, is one of the projects that helps people have homes. Bridges Out of Poverty is a good program. I think we should enlarge Bridges Out of Poverty and have more programs like that.
Thank you, Ms. Coulson. Mr. Rabin.
Oh, well, thank you. Yes, I support low-cost housing if done properly. As many of you know, I have two major civil suits, well, actually four, right now against both the city and the Oklahoma State Finance Agency. And it involves a proposed large-scale, 100-unit, government-subsidized, low-income housing project. And what was interesting was that my friend from out in Oak Park was the first one to see the notice in the paper, because of course nobody said anything about it. And one of the first things he said to me is, you know, and he owns his home out in Oak Park, we have rights too. So let's have a little bit of balance here, folks. Property owners have property rights too. So if it's done in a managed way, in my particular cases, the legal argument is the proposed housing project violates the city's zoning regulations. Okay, there are other arguments to be made. A lot of people in Oak Park don't agree with it and think it threatens their housing values, think there is no infrastructure to support it. When asked his position on this at a community meeting, my opponent said, would you rather have this development or would you rather have the empty lots? The overwhelming response from the community residents in Oak Park was the empty lots. Okay, so let's get real. It's nice to be nice, and let's do it in a managed way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Abbott. Mr. Gentzes.
Well, I think affordable housing is important in every city. Two major issues that every city is going to face and is facing right now. One is water, which we've talked a little bit about, but the other one is making sure that there's housing that people can afford. I know the specific project that Mr. Rabin's talking about, and I think his lawsuit was dismissed actually this week. But that housing addition, it's an affordable housing project, and they're saying that it's going to cost $750 a month for even those houses. Now, when I was growing up, I was in college, I remember we found some housing that we thought was pretty affordable, and it was about $85 a month. It seems incredible to me that we're saying low income for $750 a month. That seems high to me. But every city needs a segment in which people can afford nice housing in good areas. And so I'm for affordable housing. This specific project, as we move forward, we'll want more input from the community. I think that any time that things come in, we want to make sure that people have good information rather than being told things that are deceitful and misleading. So as we move forward, that's what will happen. We'll make sure that everyone knows exactly what's going to happen if, in fact, the project goes forward. Generally, though, I am for affordable housing here in Bartlesville, and we need to work on that.
Thank you, Mr. Dentzes. The next question will be addressed to Ramona Coulson. It will be Roger Elmore.
The cities of Oklahoma City, Tulsa, Enid, Norman, and Muskogee have local chapters of the American Federation of State, County, and Municipal Employees Union. Municipal police and fire departments are almost always unionized, including here in Bartlesville. Are you for or against further municipal employee unionization for the city of Bartlesville? Why or why not?
I've always been for unions. I believe that they improve the quality of life for those in the unions. I don't think that it was a fair decision by the city not to go along with the arbiter's decision in the firefighters' dispute with the city regarding funding or their pay, rather. Unions improve the quality of life.
Thank you, Ms. Coulson. Mr. Raymond. Unions.
Wasn't I second before? Okay, all right, unions. I'll continue being honest with you. I'm really not sure. But being a management consultant, did research and things like that, what I would do is I'd start asking. I would look at the pros and cons, advantages and disadvantages of those options, weigh them, discuss them with people, and make an informed decision about it. I don't know. In our consulting work, we did a lot of what's called benchmarking, which means looking at other places who have done similar kinds of things and best practice. Where does it work best? So one of the first things I do is I'd start looking at other cities in Oklahoma of comparable size or comparable demographics and start looking at what their experiences were. So to be honest with you, I really don't know. But I would make a very concerted effort to find out.
Thank you, Mr. Evan. Mr. Dinsis.
Thank you. First of all, I haven't had an opportunity to publicly thank the local firefighters union for their endorsement of my campaign, but I appreciate that very much. I've always felt like that when I was a member of the various unions growing up, I usually got paid better and had better benefits. There's a process that you have to go through whenever there's a determination whether a union will come in or not. So specifically saying I would be for or against a union coming in, I don't think that would really be proper being a city councilman. But generally, I think that unions are a good idea for the worker. I think that we've shown this year that when you build a feeling of trust between management and labor, that things can work out very well, that maybe not everyone doesn't get everything they want on either side, but that a compromise can come about. And in this instance, we have a multi-year contract, which has not happened in quite some time here in Bartlesville. And we have a return to the merit step raises, which I think are a very good idea on a sustainable basis. And I'm sure as negotiations go as we go past these 2 years, that we'll be looking at that again. But I would say that I'm always have been kind of been a union man, because when I was growing up, we had a lot of union members in my family, that my dad was a firefighter and part of a union. So that's where I stand on that.
All right, thank you, Mr. Jensis. Mr. Stewart.
I would also like to thank the Firefighters Union for their endorsement. I'll say that my wife is a member of a teachers union, and before that she was a member of the Steelworkers Union. I think they're good where they're necessary, and I think the best people to determine if they're necessary or not are the workers.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. All right, the fourth question will begin with Mr. Rabin. The question will be asked by Roger or Roger.
Sorry. I kind of threw two of them together here. How does the city council provide transparency to the public, especially about financial matters? And in terms of your availability for each candidate, how can citizens in your ward bring questions to you?
Okay. Madam Chairperson, I don't want to get myself in trouble there. Before I answer, I would like you to inform the public what my option is on the second minute of a response, which I can address a prior question if I choose to do so.
Use part of the 2 minutes you have to do that. Yes.
I know you know that, and I know that. They don't know
okay,
that.
Well,
so if I all of a sudden start into another answer, I'm not trying to go rogue.
It is the rule. He has 2 minutes to answer. If he wants to answer a previous question, that is fine. You're still on the clock.
Okay. Well, I shouldn't be, because that was a technical thing. City Council transparency. The biggest thing about transparency, and the biggest problem I think there's been, and it's also somewhat we have with our paper, two issues. One is misreporting information. And the second one is, and probably the bigger one, is not reporting information. And I'll give you a perfect example. Actually, I don't need to switch the second minute. Here's your perfect example of it. Councilman Gentry just told you that moving forward, in terms of at least the low housing project, I believe, I have lawsuits on. The council will discuss that. In the past year, the Bartlesville City Council has not said one word publicly about the proposed project out there. Not one word. So why do you think when Councilman Gentius says, well, we're going to discuss it going into the future, when they haven't discussed it in the past? I know it's a litigation, but that does not stop you from expressing your position on an issue. It doesn't work that way, Councilman. So you can, even with Casey's, when you guys, you know, you, Casey's, Oak Park, the attorneys for Casey's and Oak Park represented the city of Bartlesville also. You need to remember that. When push came to shove, the city supported special business interests against the property owners in this city. We don't need the other 30 seconds. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Raby. Mr. Gentius, do you need the question repeated?
No, I remember it.
All right.
First of all, you can always call me. I've always had my cell phone number out there, 918-704-2246. You want to meet and discuss a matter, you can do that. Tomorrow I'm meeting with a group concerning chickens. So folks call me all the time. I don't think anyone could say that we've had any more, or anyone's ever been more transparent than we have in various processes. Many meetings, all open to the public, for which my opponents spoke at many times. Over the landscaping task force. Many meetings when we have been working on the Tower Green design process and that, on the bond issue. You want to know something about the budget, come and I'll bring the budget book and we'll go through it and I will tell you whatever you want to know about the finances. If I don't know it, we'll get Mike Bailey in the room and we'll find out about what you want to know. This is a very transparent city. Always open to them. Mr. Raven's wrong. When you're in a lawsuit, you can't talk about it. But I can talk about it now. So as we move forward, if you see to reelect me, I will continue to be available to talk about whatever it is that you want to talk about, whether it be we need something done at Panther Park, we need something done in the alleys, we need something done with the chickens. I'm here. I'm willing to talk to you. We are very transparent in this government, and it's always been my policy that you're the boss. I'm listening. So give me a call, and or if you'd like to meet, just let me know, and we will do that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentius. Mr. Stewart.
So I agree with him that the city has been pretty transparent when it comes to the financial matters. You know, over the last couple months, I've looked at the last decade of budgets and audits. It's all out there. It's online for you to go look at, and I'm sure you can pick it up here at City Hall, too. As far as getting in contact with me, if you have a question about anything, email and Facebook Messenger 24/7, those are also a good way, you know, if you want me to come meet with you. I've done that with several people during the campaign where they've sent me their address and told me what time worked for them, and that worked out really well. You know, I don't think I have anything else.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Stewart. All right. Ms. Colson.
One way to have more transparency in the city government is to have more discussion. Right now, there is a consent agenda, and I understand the reasoning behind a consent agenda is to save time. And sometimes one of those issues is pulled for discussion. But I would like to hear more discussion in the city council meetings. Even after the consent agenda, then the other items that are on the agenda, I would like to hear discussed among the councilmen and women, if we have a woman next time. How would I communicate? Well, right now I have an open door policy in my law office, and anytime a client or a would-be client wants to walk in the door, they can, and if I'm not under a deadline, I stop and talk to them at that particular point in time. because I believe people are more important than documents many times, listening and hearing what they are saying to me. I believe there's a difference in listening and hearing what someone has to say. And I will attempt to listen, to hear what is being said.
Okay. Thank you, Ms. Colson. All right, the fifth question will begin with Mr. Jensis, and the fifth question will be read by Roger.
Title 22, subsection 1181 of Oklahoma statutes lists reasons for which an elected or appointed city official may be removed from office. One of those reasons listed is maladministration. What would you consider to be an example of maladministration?
Thank you, Roger. Didn't know this was going to be a law school test, but generally malfeasance in office is a very high standard. It doesn't mean I disagree with what you did. It means that you've done something in a way that would be something with malicious intent and something that is a criminal act. It has to generally have an underlying criminal act involved. You would look at, for example, if somebody were to actually steal money from the city, that could be considered malfeasance in office. Some misuse of city position to have personal gain in violation of the oath, that could possibly be malfeasance. So there's various things that could result in that, but generally it's a fairly high standard that you look at whenever you're looking at malfeasance. If there's a specific thing that somebody is considering, you know, you're free to ask me. I'll research it, and we'll let you know what my opinion is on it. I don't know of any. I've never seen anything like that. Very seldom have you seen removal for malfeasance. Kind of a corollary is what's happened just recently in the district court. That was something that was over a long period of time, and there were several things that had occurred, and then some things that had occurred actually in the proceedings in which there wasn't maybe as forthright with the Supreme Court as the person should have been. So there was a removal in that situation, but usually you have to have something fairly high, like a theft or something like that, that would result in malfeasance.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Stewart, do you have a comment on that question?
Was that one that was for everybody?
Oh, well, was it directed for only one person?
No, it's for everybody.
Oh, okay, if you have a comment, this is your chance.
I'm
you sort of well
didn't
defined
go first
it.
On that one.
Wow, that was lucky.
Because of everybody up here, I'm the only one that's not a lawyer and is not suing the city for anything.
I can give you some help with that.
But no, I think that, you know, if you see somebody doing something wrong, you've got to say something about it. You've got to turn it in. It doesn't matter who it is. You know, there's just an ethical standard that, you know, you just got to do the right thing. And if you see something, say something.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Stewart. Ms. Colson, do you have a comment?
Well, as Mr. Stewart referred, there are ethics in every profession, and being on the city council is a big responsibility. We don't really have direct access to funds, so I think it would be very difficult to actually take funds. I think one of our responsibilities is to oversee the bonds and be sure that the money on the bonds is spent specifically for what it was designated for and that it's spent in a timely fashion. Otherwise, I think Mr. Gentis gave an excellent dissertation on malfeasance in office.
I think you got an A.
Thanks.
All right. All right. Thank you, Ms. Colson. All right. Mr. Raven, do you have any comments on
Of course.
Title 22.
Of course. But first, Ms. Timekeeper, can you give me a one-minute warning, please? Thank you. I'm not an attorney. I'm just like a strategic planner, management consultant, stuff like that. And I'll admit, since it's a legal question and was stated that way, I'm not in a position to give a legal answer. Ms. Colson appears to believe, and maybe truthfully, that my opponent gave a perfectly reasonable legal explanation. Me, I got some great lawyers. I double check it with them, you know, as kind of a referral thing to see if in fact that was true or it applied specifically here. That's how I would handle it. It's how I handle most things I don't know about. I go find out about it. And there are ways to find out about things. So I'm going to let my blank time sit in there until we get to the 1 minute mark.
Everybody's thinking.
Yeah, everybody think. Take a couple of deep breaths.
Well, while you're
thinking. Come on, we're not at a minute yet? Really? What'd you say? I talk very slowly? I've never been accused of that. Okay, so, second minute. Councilman, since you can now talk about the lawsuit, why don't you tell the people in Oak Park and the people in this city why, where you stand on that proposed project, which will add 300 to 500 people, by the way, to Oak Park, and why you and the city council have supported the housing developer in court against the private property owners in Oak Park. Why don't you explain that to them? And by the way, all the other private property owners in the city of Bartlesville. That finishes my 2 minutes.
Thank you, Mr. Remy. The next question goes to Mr. Stewart first, and it will be asked by Roger Fenstermaker.
How can city government foster a better informed citizenry and community?
So I think they've done a really good job with the green space that's next to the Price Tower, between that and the community center that I don't think has a name yet. Having those community meetings and getting people in there and getting their input, building on their ideas, finding out what it is that they really want and not, trying to guess what it is they want. I think that's a good way to communicate with the citizens. It gets them out. Doing the online polls, I think, has been very helpful to get even a broader audience. And those are things I think that they should continue to do.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Ms. Coulson?
Would you repeat the question, please?
How can city government foster a better informed citizenry and community?
Well, certainly town meetings is a good way to foster informed people. The press, the newspaper, the radio, more modern Facebook, online, internet are ways to foster a better informed community, just like any other a business would inform a community. So should the city.
Thank you, Ms. Coulson. Mr. Raymond, communication.
Thank you. I think the city already has a good approach in terms of televised city council meetings, open meetings of city-related commissions, committee, trust authorities, and things of that sort. There may be some questions about how it's actually applied. To me, openness and transparency, which is fundamental to city government, also means honest city government. So, as I said before, one of the problems I think the council has had, along with some of our local reporting, is two pieces. One is misreporting the news, and two, particularly, and a lot of people know this, is not reporting the news. So basically, you don't know what you don't know. It's the way it works. For example, Councilman Jenkins has told you that he worked tirelessly to get the 2nd Street and Dewey Avenue landscape project done. I fought for 5 years to get that project done, and the city council sat on it, along with the BRTA. I was at the meetings next door that weren't televised with Councilman Jenches, who tried to delay the project repeatedly, asked the people who were in that task force, and asked the people, some major property owners and businesses in the downtown business district. He insisted on proposing another study on a business improvement district, which property owners had already rejected twice, and he insisted on it. And thank goodness, about half a dozen major property and business owners in the downtown business district came up there in front of that podium and sort of put it how would you say this? They read to the council from the book, and the council was so embarrassed that they had to agree to pay for the maintenance of that project, which was why it was held up for 10 years. So when the councilman says he helped get it passed, the fact is he didn't. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rabin. Mr. Gentzes?
Well, I think the city does do a good job of communicating. I know that in these meetings that we've had, we always make sure that we have lots of meetings. For example, what Mr. Stewart has talked about with the Tower Green, we've had dozens of meetings, all open to the public. We had over 1,000 people respond to the survey. I think that you have to have a voice. You have to tell folks about what's happening. You've got to work with the media, not necessarily attack media, but provide information to them, and I think that they will be, in their own way, fair to present those kind of things. I'm always willing to meet with folks. We've had numerous town halls. I would have more. Anytime people want to meet, we'd be more than glad to do that. As far as honesty, I think we do have to be honest. If you want to find out what people think about the task force, ask any member of that task force and see what they think about how we ran that. And Mr. Kurd's here. You can talk to him after the meeting, see how he feels about that. He was the other councilman. You can also walk downtown and see how many blue signs there are. I think that kind of gives you an idea who's telling the truth here. So I think that that's very important, that we are open, we listen, and I think that to improve the overall thing, we can do better probably on our Facebook, those kind of electronic things. I'm an old guy, I'm 65, so I'm not 100% up on those sort of things, but I'm learning. And I think we saw with the bond issue, that was a very effective thing, is being able to get people to get the information out, and we were doing it in several ways, talking, but also electronically, and we can do more of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Well, regrettably, the clock says that I don't have time for a whole other question to go around the block. So it is time for the two-minute closing, and according to my notes, it should begin with Ms. Colson.
Thank you for allowing me to be heard tonight. As your councilwoman, I will listen, I will hear, and I will respond to the taxpayers. There's a difference between listening and hearing, and after talking to me, I want a citizen to walk away feeling like they have been heard. I stand for accountability and transparency in city government and for growth in business, population, and employment opportunities in Bartlesville. Please vote for me on November 6th, and remember, you deserve to be heard. Good evening.
Thank you, Ms. Colson. Mr. Rabin, closing remarks. You have 2 minutes.
Okay. This is not advertising. This is what my goal has been, make Bartlesville great again. And it's been great. I think it's been had problems because of the way the council has behaved in the last couple of years. I've had a six-point platform. You've probably seen them on billboards and stuff. I'm not going to go into details. It's about issues. It's all about issues. And that brings me to the issue where my opponent, the council, and the local newspaper have focused on criticizing my style. And I understand you may not like my style. That's interesting. But they never seem to deal with what I'm saying. Okay, so I know a president who's got a problem also with his style, which I have a problem with too on occasion. But, you know, when people listen to him, he gets things done. If you're satisfied with what my opponent and the city council have been doing to the city, I suggest you vote for him, okay, really. If you're tired of that, tired of the council, if you really want to know what's going on, and if you want someone to help build the city, and if you want someone who's got your back, I'm asking for your vote. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Evans. Mr. Gentis?
Thank you. I again want to thank the League of Women Voters for holding this forum. They're always informative and somewhat lively at times. Thank you again for coming and listening. We'll be around afterwards if you have some questions or you want to continue the discussion. I think it's pretty clear in this election which path that each of us are willing to take. My path is this. For the last 2 years, I've been working with people who have completely different ideas on certain issues than I do, but we're able to work together, listen to each other, come to a working solution, and that's what we've been doing. We've been finding working solutions for the last 2 years, whether it be for downtown landscaping, whether it be for some of these other issues that we've looked at. We are able to come up with a solution. So if you have a concern, get with me, and we'll see if we can come up with something that is satisfaction to you. I don't believe in being contentious. I don't believe in being argumentative. I don't believe in trying to split the community or to make you angry or to say things that are not true so that you'll be motivated to vote for me. What I want to do is to make sure that we continue to build and to grow this great city that we live in. It's a unique place. It's a place that great opportunity. It's a place that you can go and enjoy yourself. You've got the beautiful Osage Hills over here. You've got the beautiful downtown. And we want to continue on the path that we've been on. So what I'm asking is that you'll vote for me on November 6th. If you have any questions, you want to talk to me directly, 918-704-2246. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Gentis. Mr. Stewart.
So, you know, like I said, I've looked at the last decade of budgets and audits. They tell me what the city prioritizes and what they don't. You know, I'm really kind of a numbers guy. One of the things I've noticed from there is the declining sales tax that we've had. And, you know, that's going to be a long-term problem with us if we can't figure out how to fix it. And we do have to increase the population. I think one way we can do that is, well, first, I think, you know, we overestimate what we can do in a year and underestimate what we can do in 10. And we need to work on coming up with a good, workable 10-year plan. Where's Bartlesville going to be in 2030? Normally with the bond issues, it's, you know, like right now, what's going to be on the 2019 bond? We don't know. We need to have a long-term plan with what's going to be on the 2019 bond, on the 2020 bond, on the 2021 bond, and really have a comprehensive plan going forward to figure out where we're going to be 10 years from now. I'm in a unique position compared to with the other counselors and the candidates. I own a small business here in Bartlesville and work for a Fortune 100 company. I could move my family anywhere in the world, but I choose Bartlesville for the long term. I'm not going to Houston, Anchorage, Dubai, Edinburgh, or Melbourne. I'm staying here in Bartlesville for the long term because I'm both committed to this community's success and dedicated to its progress. I'll be hosting a couple of community meetings later this week if you would like to talk with me before you go vote. Thank you and make it a great day.
Thank you, Mr. Stewart. Well, I want to thank again 1400 AM and its sponsor, P66, Nathan Thompson, Examiner, who's streamed this live in the Facebook page, Cable Channel 56, all the people that are here tonight. The purpose of this forum was to help you see the candidates and hear what they said tonight so you will be able to make a decision on November 6th or early voting. And that's what this is all about. I want to put a plug in for the League of Women Voters from League of Women Voters Oklahoma. We have voter guides still at the library. They have the pro and con information about you're going to be voting for some state people as well, the governor. And for me, the most confusing part is always the state questions, and it has information both pro and con for all those state questions to help you make an educated decision, which is what we want our citizenry to do. So as my dad used to say, if you don't vote, don't complain. So see you at the polls next week, and thank you again.
Can I put my hat back on?
Pat Netzer-Willard, the moderator for the event tonight, sponsored by the League of Women Voters. You have heard the two candidates for the Ward 2 seat on the council, an open seat, Ramona Colson and Paul Stewart, and the two candidates for the Ward 4 seat, incumbent Helen Gentius and challenger Joel Rabin. Early voting at the Washington County Election Board Office and Election Board Offices across the state of Oklahoma, 8 to 6 o'clock Thursday and Friday, 9 to 2 on Saturday. Of course, the polls will be open on Tuesday, Election Day, 7 until 7. And then tune in on AM 1400, 93.3 FM, K1. After the polls close, we will report the vote totals, not only on the city council election, but of course also on those state questions and all the other ballot questions, the candidates that are up and down the race. Thanks to Dave Waddell back in the studio for making sure everything runs correctly. Certainly thank you to our sponsor, Phillips 66. And this has been a presentation of KWON News.
That's not the sound of a full tank. That's the sound of not missing her soccer game, of making it to the meeting, or driving as far away from the meeting as humanly possible, getting away for the weekend, or making it home just in time for weird taco night. Because tonight's featured taco is cheese puffs and ketchup.